Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13 is a parable that many people are familiar with. But today we want to talk about prepare to go. Prepared to go. It can be very dangerous to be a last minute person, because there are some things that we need to be prepared for and we shouldn't prepare for at the last minute. I started to say you can't, but folk can do, when they're grown up, they can do what they want to do. So we shouldn't prepare for at the last minute. Last minute, people always think they have more time than they actually do. The danger is when last minute folk meet with success and pulling things off at the last minute, they think, if I can get it done this way, then why change? Well, change is needed because there are some things in life that you need, that we need to be prepared for. And one of those things is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Many of us in the body of Christ don't realize it, that when it comes to our salvation, we become last-minute people also. A lot of us just don't know how to regard salvation, don't know how to regard our eternal life. And it's we show it, we display it in how we treat worship and how we treat Bible study and how we treat church service. It shows that we really have a casual approach to this man, Jesus Christ, until something happens. But our parable shows that we need to be prepared to go. What the problem is that some of us feel healthy enough that we could put it off till the next Sunday, till the next Sunday, till the next Sunday, because we feel like we're going to live. But I come to let somebody know today that you don't know when your number is going to be called. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Some folk die from disease. Some die from accidents. Some just die. There's some folk that just die from natural causes. They were, some people say, oh, they were the picture of health. But we only have a portion of control over our lives. God is in control. Many of us don't take our salvation, we don't take our eternal life serious enough, because if we did, we would live in a state of preparedness. I'm not saying we would walk around with a big cross around our neck, with a big Bible off the coffee table and everything, speaking in tongues at every moment, at every intersection of the day. I'm just talking about a state of preparedness of being, Jesus, if you come back right now, I'm ready to go. That's right. Amen. Prepare to go. I mean, they even got that in the supermarkets now. You ain't got to wait. Restaurants too. It's got prepare to go. You don't go sit down. You go to a little counter somewhere. We ought to live in a state of preparedness for the return of Christ. Last minute people are a danger to themselves and others. You ever deal with somebody always doing something last minute? Don't that work your nerves? If you're not a last minute person, don't that work your nerves? They're thinking like it's just them. No, you're messing up some other folk with your last minute tactics. I mean, you pull it off, but you're still last minute. You're stressing folk out with your size. Everything at the last minute. And they don't want to change anything. Well, you know how I am. Come on. That's why I'm praying for you, praying with you. Some things you have to do at the last minute. Some folk will just work your nerves at that last minute stuff. You outside blowing the horn, beep, beep. I'll be right down, line and line. They will not be right down. Y'all leaving at 2, they went upstairs at 1:40 to get dressed. And you know what they got to go through to get dressed, okay? Amen. But we going through a whole bunch of stuff. Come on, last minute folk. Last minute people, they're danger. But don't forget, some of us become last minute people to come to our salvation. We spend more time trying to do everything else, paying attention to everything else except our salvation, our eternal life. That's why in the parable, that's why 5 of the bridesmaids were called foolish, because they knew what to do and didn't do it. My God, folk know they ought to be in church. Folk know they ought to be saved. Folk know they ought not be acting like that, talking like that, living like that, walking like that. We know it, but they won't be foolish. And then sometimes when we get foolish, we have foolish thoughts. We act like we got all the time in the world.
Yeah. Right?
I got, you know, I can get it together next week. Last minute folks. Some folks pay the bills at last minute and they find themselves in the dark. No water and can't cook. Lord have mercy. Last minute. And then to get mad with the folk when you call them. But I got to turn my stuff. Because you waited the last minute to pay your bill. That's why we turned it off. If you're not careful, we're going to come get everything else up in there. Oh, Lord have mercy. But you know, the time we have now is called grace. Grace is God's time given to us that we really don't have. It is granted to us to do something that we should have already done. That's what grace is. We talked about it before. You know you get a bill and they got to give you a grace period. You got 30 days to get this bill paid. Not 31. You got 30 days to show up in court. Not 31. They will come get you. See, sometimes we frustrate grace. We frustrate God's grace by acting like we got all the time in the world. I serve him when I want to. I do what I want. What blows my mind is how we determine what church we want to join, if we want to join church. I let folk know, look, the church is like the hospital. Everybody got something going on up in there. All kind of stuff floating around in here. Matter of fact, you ought to come in wearing a mask some Sunday. But this is where folk come to get healed. So if you're looking for a perfect church, you got the whole concept of church wrong. I heard somebody say one time, they teach the word up in there, but I don't know. They ain't got, the other church gave you ice cream and cookies after service. Boy, gee, ice cream and cookies ain't going to get you in glory. See, if you're sitting in church for the wrong reason, you might be foolish. Don't let the parable fool you. It's not just talking about women. It's talking about women, men, and children. And children at the age of accountability to know about eternal life, to know about salvation. But you got to be prepared to go. Since we don't know when Jesus will return, but we do know he will return. That's one thing. We don't know when, but we know he will. That's enough for me. You ever had a child where, you know, there's a little child and the grandparents come by the house and say, one day, we're going to come get you, come spend some time with us. One day. They ain't telling when. And if you the mother, the father, you could kill your grandparents. I mean, you could kill your parents, their grandparents. Because what they did was every day the little kid got their little suitcase packed. It's day. No, you go to school today, baby. They come back home. Are they coming to get me today? No, they said one day. But the child believes them. Jesus is saying, I said, I'm coming back to get this. Will you believe me? Are your bags packed? You know, he don't mind you saying, Daddy, it's a day today. He ain't going to answer you. Just be prepared to go. But be like a little child. Believe what grandmama and granddaddy said. One day, we come to get you to spend some time with us. They got that little bag pack. As a matter of fact, when the little kid got older, they had to go in and get the bigger size in the suitcase. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it takes folks that long. And please, the folks that make the promise, fulfill the promise. Stop messing with them kids. Tell you going to come get them. You'll never come get them. You cold blood. I'm glad Jesus ain't like that. Promising folks stuff. He's not a man where he should lie, or the son of man he should repent. But God wants to be like that little child that says, I believe. I believe that he's going to come and get me. And then we should sing all those songs in church, and they were the old songs that we were singing. I didn't know what he's talking about. Got my ticket in my hand. I'm on the train. What are they talking about? They prepared to go. That's like that song that Mother Island sang this morning. She prepared. She said, look at it. When I get there, there won't be no more pain. No more grandkids. She didn't say that. But you know all that kind of stuff. She said, I'm just playing, y'all. She didn't say that. I threw that in there. I had a revelation this right moment there. I had a revelation. God gave me a revelation. God gave me. Yeah, some of y'all smile. Y'all be talking, ain't no more husband, no more wife.
to stop messing with your mind. But we all not wait to the last minute to prepare. I know somebody's going to say, Pastor, but wait a minute. How about the thief died on the cross? Well, I said, that's one man. That's not the whole world. Everybody didn't wait to the last minute. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how about last shall be first and first shall be last? But how? Last means that they waited to the last minute. That means they were last one to join the church before he came back. We're always trying to find like holes in the Word of God to rationalize our nonsense. And at the same time, the devil got you and I thinking that we just since we don't know when he'll be back. I don't think he'll come back in 2012. So I'm going to wait to 2013 to find me a church. I'm going to wait to 2013 to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and say, this is what I really should say, because just because you're in church don't mean you're saved. You could be foolish sitting up in church. Sitting up in church, going through the motions, praising God, singing on the choir, preaching from the pulpit, deaconing and deaconessing. And foolish. Foolish. Know what to do and won't do it. Some of us are so stubborn. We're not going to change our ways. We're going to do it our way. We're going to tell God we're going to do it our way. Until you show me the nail prints in your head. Until you show me where they stuck you in the side. But in the meantime, heal my body and bless my kids and bless my marriage and give me a new job, God, and put food on my table. Or we play God like a fiddle. We play him. I don't believe you that much yet, Lord, but please bless me. That's why in the altar prayer I said, God lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust. We ought to be in a state of preparedness. The Bible is very clear about the return of Jesus Christ and that we ought to be prepared. He will come back. What was that guy named Campy that tried to predict it? If the Bible says no man knows the hour of the day, I'm trying to figure out who are these folks that follow him, that gave up their job, that spent all their money following him around with all these billboards. He could have gave all that money so we could build a great big church and a school and a home for people. They spent all that money advertising a lie. And folks were following them, telling me I was crazy. No, you crazy. For the Bible says, no man knoweth the hour or the day when the Son of Man shall return. And they kind of... The Bible's clear. The fact that we don't know when ought to give us a signal like, I better get this thing together. I better be prepared to go. Because you know why you can be prepared to go? Because whatever we have right now, I don't care how much it means, how sentimental it is, ain't going to mean nothing. Because a new heaven, a new earth, we won't need all the stuff we have now. Yeah, you're going to have to leave your car. You have to leave your house, your jewelry. You won't need it. My brothers and sisters, the streets of heaven are paved with gold. You trying to wear it, now I'm walking on it. Come on. See, you got to understand how God does stuff. All the stuff he's trying to preserve and everything. We don't really need that no more. We won't need that no more. Hallelujah. Son of man, nobody knows when he shall return. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 is actually after Matthew chapter 24 because Jesus is teaching in the Mount of Olives, from the Mount of Olives. He's teaching about the signs of the end. Look at Matthew 24, 4. He talked to the disciples. He says, and Jesus answered and said that in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. A lot of us are being deceived because we're too lazy to worship the Lord. Amen. Some folks don't want to worship the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They healthy body. They won't get up and come to church. I worship God through the TV. No, you don't. You watch TV. And Jesus don't play football. They flip the gospel to the TV to the preacher for 5 minutes. They flip the football. And Jesus is not on Home Shopping Network. Come on, stop playing. I done worked hard all week. Yeah, but Jesus went to Calvary for you. Got beat up, bruised up, and everything. So you can lay in the bed and watch TV and worship him through TV. Well, Pastor, you don't understand because all these churches is phony. Well, come on in and straighten us out. Please join. Please join. Get us straight. That's why we're here. We're like a hospital. We're moving towards perfection. We're trying to get this thing straight.
Matthew 24, it says, take heed that no man deceive, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's a lot of places you go, they're going to teach a lot of crap. They're going to talk a lot of stuff. People are going to fleece you and everything. Let your spirit tell you. You got some street smart. You know when somebody getting over on you. You know when somebody lying to you. You ain't got to be all highly spiritual. You know when somebody got their hand in your pocket. You know when somebody playing with your head. Don't turn that on when you come to church. God didn't say stop thinking when you come to church. He said think more. Follow that word. Check out. Ask some questions. See what that pastor's talking about. Look at verse 6. And ye shall hear wars, the rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There's so much stuff going on, but the end is not yet. As a matter of fact, he says, until the gospel is preached unto all the world, then shall the end come. And they still find them folks all back up in the woods and all. Every time we go down south, somebody say, you know, some people back up and down. I ain't going back up in there. No, I've been in school with you. No. You love me. I mean, I love to take the gospel door, but God ain't sent me back up in there. I won't go no place that ain't got no road back up in there. No road. What are you supposed to get out and walk or something like that? I'm like, wait a minute, I don't want to go up in there. Praise be to God. Let somebody else take the gospel to them. They might be your cousin. Well, cuz, I didn't come up there to see you. I sent somebody else, cuz. There's people all over. And then there's people who will take the gospel and will like their linguist. They would put it in their language so those people could understand. It's so powerful. But the end is not yet. All these wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, all these things going on. Jesus said the end is not yet. Don't be fooled by that stuff. Somebody come here and say, hey, Jesus over here. He said, don't believe him. Because I told you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 how I'm coming back. As a matter of fact, before I come back, that Gabriel won't blow the trumpet. You're going to hear something first before I come. Don't let folks fool you. Don't go to a church and have them turn your mind off. And I can't stand that. People just, I can never stand. I understand Jim Jones and folks drinking that Kool-Aid. But when you turn your brain off, you follow anybody anywhere. All those folks got killed in Guyana. Think for yourself sometime. Had a lady one time tell me, well, you know, my pastor told me that we supposed to bring our whole check to the church. I said, what church you belong to? So she gave me the name of it, and I was like a halfway say, I'm going to knock him on the head. But the Lord is good at work. Come on, y'all think, how you not going to live? Come on. When God blesses, he's going to bless the entire church. Like Psalm 133. The anointing that fell down upon Aaron's beard and all the way down. It went down to the nations. If I'm blessed, you ought to be blessed. I can't get that picture with folks. You know, the people that got all this stuff and the people in the pews ain't got nothing.
Verse 8 said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. When you get to verse 36 of chapter 24, as we move on, look at what it says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
How's somebody going to tell you when, the exact date when Christ is coming back? But all the Bible says, be prepared. Are you prepared to go? I didn't ask when you prepared to die. Ask when you prepared to go.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Ah, my God. Look at that. Look at verse 42 of chapter 24. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And what does that mean, watch?
Because we had some folk down in South Philly not too long ago in a certain corner. They had watch. The dudes had staffs, and they were watching for the Lord. They would take turns. This is some ministry, some religion they had. They were watching for the Lord.
That don't mean watch like that. That don't mean to stay out of touch. But folk would do that, though. It was more than one of them because they had 6-hour shifts. It had to be like four of them, believe that thing. 6 times 4 is 24. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, check my math. Check my math. I'm good with counting money, but.
It means be prepared. Be prayerful. That's what that means. To watch therefore, for you know not whether the Lord shall come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house. But what he said is, if he had known, he would have been prepared. And Jesus is not saying that you ought to have something on your pillow just in case the thief comes.
Amen. Your house wouldn't have been broken up. Let me move on. Somebody's thinking about that. And verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. But what we want to focus in on Matthew chapter 25, and we want to deal with these three points. Number one, foolish. Number two, wise. And number three, consequences. Because a lot of times we don't understand there's good consequences and there's bad consequences. Amen. But in these three parables, we need to begin to understand that in chapter 25, Jesus is teaching three different things. We'll do it. Chapter 25, verses 14 to 30 shows the necessity of using all the gifts that God's given us. Then chapter 25, 31 to 46 stresses the importance of serving others. And then where we are today, 25, 1 through 13 is teaching us that we're responsible for our own spiritual condition. You're responsible for your own oil and your own lamp. Don't start blaming me. When the door shut, well, Pastor Carter, that, no. You're responsible for your own spiritual condition. In other words, you're responsible for being prepared. So what is it about these foolish bridesmaids? Look at 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins of bridesmaids, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And it didn't say they were bad people. It didn't say they were bad people. It didn't say they were stupid. It said they were foolish. You're foolish when we know what to do and don't do it. But they were going, and the kingdom of heaven means when Christ returns. Look at verse 2. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Well, number one, what's wrong with the foolish? They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. If you don't know the hour of the day when Jesus is going to come, how are you going to take your lamp and take no oil? Suppose he tarries.
Okay.
But how about the wise? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise had their lamps with oil in it. Then they took another container of oil. Because they read the word. Because they were trying to be prepared for the return of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But some folk don't want to prepare. They want you to go to Bible study. They want you to go to church. They want you to bring them a CD back. They want you to bring them a DVD back. They want you to go to church and pray for them. They want you to get in line for them. They want you to get the anointing for them. They don't want to get their own oil. That's not being prepared. Because one day you got to come get it for yourself. I haven't found one person yet that said, Pastor, I got this wonderful dinner ticket. Go eat for me. Go eat for me. They never really do that. They never do that. You ever have anybody say, Pastor, I got, girlfriend, I got this thing. I'm supposed to go to such and such place. And I'm supposed to get this gold ring off a jeweler's robe. Go get it. May it fit you well. But when it comes to important things like eternal life, we want to send other folk. We don't want to go get it ourselves. It's right here. You go to a foreign country, people think we're crazy because we're not in church all day. My buddy told me in Africa, they stand up all day and listen to the word. And then when you finish, they want more and more and more. And then they will walk so many miles home and walk back at night to get more and more and more. But we're so blessed.
that we're not even prepared when Jesus comes. Some of us are smarter than Jesus. We're so intelligent, we're going to do it our way. But five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. And the foolish ones didn't take enough oil in their lamps just in case he didn't come back. If you don't know when he's going to come back, how are you just going to take your lamp with the oil in it and your lamp is burning and you got no more oil just in case your wick burns out? My God. Do you have enough? Anybody got enough anointing to get them to tomorrow? You sent some timbers up already? Look at verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, Jesus Christ, that means he was delayed. All of them slumbered and slept. There ain't no bad, all of them were asleep. It's cool. That's it. There's some things that both of them did, but there's some things that both of them did not. And it started out on the journey. They were prepared on the journey. The wise were prepared for the journey. Are you prepared for the journey? Are you a Burger King Christian? Drive up when you're hungry. Drive up when you're sick. Drive up when you're broke and order what you need and then drive off. Because all I'm going to do is give you what you need for the moment. Oh, my God. If you don't watch it, some of that stuff won't last. Never mind.
They all slumbered and slept. Look at verse 6. And at midnight, the cry came. Because, as my Bible says, on the wedding day, the bridegroom went to the bride's house for the ceremony. And when the bride and groom, along with the great parade, they returned to the groom's house where a feast took place often lasting a full week. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I have to give me a loan to do that. A full week. But they were waiting for this reception. And they weren't going to miss it. And at midnight, the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. When you trim your lamps, that means you make sure you light it again. You got more oil in it and everything. And the foolish. That means somebody that was in church with me was not prepared to meet the bridegroom, and now they want what I got. Well, I can't give you what I got because I need what I got because you sat right next to me and we all had the same privilege and opportunity to get what we needed and you decided not to. Don't let nobody tell you always in church. Tell them, so what? You always talk about me being in church. I told Reverend Kevin this morning, so God, when you go to church, I ain't asked you to go with me. You didn't drive me. You ain't iron my clothes. You didn't give me no offering money. What is it to you? You need Jesus. But you let folk get all up in your head. They be messing all with you. But here it is. They arose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish, right away, they realized what they didn't have. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. In other words, you're responsible for your own stuff. You're responsible for being prepared to meet Christ when he returns. I'm not responsible for you. If I was responsible for you, how come every time you get a little bit of money, you don't break me off a piece? Huh? How come every time I file my taxes, you don't give me your social security number? And we all like that. Come on, somebody. Make this thing real. Folk want you to be with them when they want you to be with them. But when you can tell the folk doing good, you don't hear from, oh, I wish I had a witness. They be all in your pocket. Time they get a little something, you don't hear from them no more. Until they get broke. Here they come. Well, where you been? Not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Oh, are you prepared to go? And while they went to buy. See, we ought not have to go get what we need. We got what we need right here. Just get what you need and hold on to it like the little child with the suitcase pack waiting for the grandparents to come get us. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I'm ready to go. Yeah. They had to go buy
some oil. And I used to think that when the five wise virgins told the foolish virgin not so they wouldn't share with them, I thought that was cold-blooded until I read the rest of it. This is what cold-blooded. Look what happened. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, because first they heard the shout. And the shout was the one that ran before the bridegroom to let folk know he on the way. But because the one that shouted, they didn't know how far the bridegroom was behind them. I ain't giving you none of my, I don't believe he brought me this far. I can't get no. Because that's just the shout. I'm still waiting for the bridegroom. So I want to make sure I got enough oil, just in case the shout is 2 miles ahead of the bridegroom. I want to make sure my lamp is lit so he can save me. Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Lord have mercy. So you got to be ready. You can't go get nothing when Jesus is on his way. Once you hear the call, it's not time to go get anything. It's time to fly away. Look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, look what happened. The bridegroom came, and they that were what? Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? Now I thought that was cold blooded. I said, God, that's cold blooded. Did Jesus shut the door? He said, ain't none of your business who shut it. It was shut. That means you can't get in. I said, it's cold. He said, it ain't cold. Because I extended grace to each and every one of you. And you frustrated my grace. I sent church after church open up in Philadelphia. I sent preacher after preacher. I sent folk to your house. I blessed you. I touched your life. And you turned your back on me. You ain't got no oil for your lamp. That's foolish. Don't tell me that I'm cold-blooded. I went to Calvary's cross, was beat up and died for you, and got up early Easter Sunday morning. You have a right to the tree of life, and you were telling me that's cold-blooded. I waited all this time for you, and I shut the door because you weren't ready. You got the nerve to be upset with me. Look at verse 11. This is so sad. Afterward came also the other virgins, foolish ones, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. You're right. One virgin said, too late. Got my oil. There's a picture, there's an artist's drawing where there's no handle on the outside of the door. There's an artist's drawing, that's what they depicted as, that you couldn't jimmy your... Because you come in any kind of way, other way, you're a thief and a robber. But they said, Lord, open to us. Look what he said. This is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I was like, wow. He said, I don't know you because you don't have any oil. I know you. I don't know you because you're not prepared. You don't look like the folk I'm looking for. You don't look like the person I blew my DNA to DNA in. And God, you don't look nothing like that. And then the whole idea of the parable is, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So that word watch means be prepared. Go get what you need. Go get. Don't let nobody stop you from getting what you need. If you need some extra prayer, you get you some extra prayer. I don't care. Oh, she go to the prayer. He go to the altar every week. So what? Ain't no skin off your nose. That's how you think the skin off your nose. I go as often as I need to go. I stay. I don't care if I use up 20 boxes of tissue. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what. Just because I got enough sense to put some clean clothes on and wash my face, you think everything's going well in my life? I come to let you know. I ain't come to church just to see you. I come to lift up Jesus. I come to magnify the name of the Lord. I'm glad to see you. You are my brother and sister in Christ. But I come to get mine. So I need my own oil. I got my own lamb. So that when I hear the shout and the bridegroom comes, I want to make sure he sees me. They have a saying, don't let them catch you with your work undone. Are you prepared to go? So many times when you open the doors of the church, people put it off. Nah,
I'll come next week. No, I'll come after I get my hair did. Jesus ain't interested in your hair. He's interested in your heart. Now, I don't know if I like it up in here. That path is crazy. But which one of y'all are certified not crazy? Lord have mercy. I'll be certified. You can say I ain't crazy. No, are you certified? I want you to have taken all the tests. I want to see your certificate that you're not crazy. Because folk call us crazy for believing in somebody that came over 2,000 years ago to die on Calvary's cross to raise up early Easter Sunday morning to put our faith in somebody we can't see. But we feel him and we know he's there. I don't know about you, I'm prepared to go. I ain't saying, are you prepared to die? Is there any oil in your lamp? And oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit when you get into the Old Testament. Last minute people, beware. You don't have to wait till the last minute. Because according to God's word, when Jesus Christ shall return, if you're a Christian and you want eternal life, we shouldn't have been waiting till the last minute anyway. How important is it to you? We mix up eternal life, salvation, what Jesus did. We mix that up with church. I've seen folk walk away from church. But don't walk away from Jesus. I don't know what might happen to you in church. We're all trying to get there. Some crazy people at churches. Yes. You might as well know. Don't sit in my pew. I'll be all along on the bottom of the pew. Where your name at? My grandmother brought this pew. Where grandmama at? She dead. Well, hello. Drape a seat for grandma. Let me sit out. All kind of stuff. You step on my toe. You don't know what you might hear in church, but you ought to hear the word of God from the pulpit in church. And you ought not be so thin-skinned. You go on your job. You work your job every day. They say whatever they want to say to you. They call you what they want to call you. And you come there every day. Come to church. Oh, I'm offended. Why? Because they don't pay check at the end of the sermon. Deep how we get so thin-skinned when it comes to church. Everything else, we all tough. Give your testimony. Yeah, I fought all 40 people that were. They roll their eyes at me. Good. That means they need to go to the doctor and get their eyes back in the socket. They can roll them. Think about us and how we get so thin-skinned when it comes to church. Because you know why? Because some of us are looking for a good excuse. I'm leaving there. Who said you were such a wonderful, genuine person to be around? We all working on our stuff. We all got junk in the trunk. We all got some messed up. We all trying to make like we, that we want to be like Christ would have us. We're working towards that. But it's deep how stuck in this. Can't borrow nobody's oil. You sat here with me. Nobody told you not to get the word for yourself. Nobody told you not to learn how to pray for yourself. But there's some good news. That grace is still available. That you can come today and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and begin the preparation process through the power of the Holy Spirit so that when Jesus Christ comes back, you will be like the wise virgin. You will have enough oil in your lamp. I'm so glad there's some good news that there's still some grace. I don't know when he's coming back. Grace might run out tonight. I don't know. But it's my job to let you know right now that you need to either give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, and you need to get that lamp burning with the right kind of oil. Because that other stuff you're burning, hey, it won't last. It won't last. You need the right kind of oil in your lamp. I'm just letting you know. And you know what? And to make the real thing plain, we would love for you to join here. But if you don't join here, you need to join the church. But don't leave here lost. At least know that you need to be prepared to go. Since you don't know when he's coming back, you ought to be prepared each and every day and every hour. No man, they said he come like a thief in the night. We don't know. And I'm trying to scare you. No, not my job. It's my job to inform us that we need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Don't be foolish.
foolish is sitting right there and going through your mind saying, okay, yeah. Jesus Christ is the only one that came to die on the cross. He got up. He's coming back again. Now I have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior so I can live eternally. So I can live forever. I'm not going to live forever in this life, but I want to live forever when he comes back, never to die again. And that's what he came for. Wow, I need to put some of that oil in my lamp. I don't need to be foolish about this day. But you know, I got to give up so much. You'd be surprised what you're not giving up. If you don't believe that I'm telling the truth, ask one of the five foolish virgins. They still outside. You'll find them. Listen for this. That be them. Trying to get in. Because once the door is shut, the Bible says Jesus Christ come back twice. So all of us that's playing close to the edge, think we got all this time to get it together, the Word of God will let you know, no, you don't. You need to lock in right now. You need to lock in and get your lamp and get the oil because Gabriel getting ready to shout. And soon after the shout, the bridegroom showed up. And the foolish virgin went to Wawa to get some oil. Yeah, that's David crying. You're right. That's David crying. Why me? Yeah. That's why I chose Wawa, not 7-Eleven. Amen. Sit in church all your life and then get in. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? You an awesome preacher and you ain't get in. You an awesome singer, you did not get in. Could nobody count money like you and you didn't even get in. You know why? Because you didn't really accept Jesus Christ. You didn't take that thing serious. That's what the parable is saying, that you're responsible for your own salvation, for your own preparedness. Jesus said, when I come back, don't be talking about what they did and what they didn't do. He said, no, you got enough sense to be able to read the Word of God for yourself. And any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberty and upbraideth not. You can get in the Word. You can find out what I'm saying to you for yourself. You ain't got to stand and let some folk lie to you. No excuses. He said, I never knew you. They knocking on the door. Do you imagine how they were once they got their oil and put it in the lamp? They running. And the one in the back said, oh, leave me. Well, you better hurry up, girl. Got through the door was shut. And they like. But what I like about Jesus, he still answered them. He didn't ignore them. He answered them. And said, I never. In other words, I'm not opening up the door to strangers. When I come back, ain't no strange folk going to heaven. You got enough strange folk down here on earth. Enough strange things going on here. When I come back, ain't no strange folk coming up in here. You got to be ready when I come back. Give God your life. Are you prepared to go? We ought to live in a state of preparedness. Not in a state of nervousness, but a state of preparedness. You got to believe everything that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and what the Word of God says he's coming back for us. I know we see through a clear glass darkly, but there's enough about the cross and Christ for us to understand that we can make a decision. We need to come on and give our lives to Christ. Don't be foolish. Be wise. You heard the Word of God today. What is God saying to you? And know you're saved. Just because you're in church don't mean you're saved. I'm glad you're here. But make sure you're saved. Don't have me looking for you. And you ain't there. But it's okay to play me because I ain't been on the cross. But don't play yourself. My God. For all those that go around, ain't no church good enough for you. Well, I got a Savior that's more than enough. And his name is Jesus. Let us stand all over God's house. There may be someone here today. There may be some souls here today that say, you know what? I take that parable serious. And I'm not going to play with this thing anymore because I don't know when he's coming back.
But at least he gave you the opportunity and the grace to be prepared. I come today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We open the doors of God's house. If there's anyone here.